Vintage is the venue of the day for On the Fly, and it's a beautiful day down here in Vintage. Ray Johnson, one of the directors of the Vintage Aircraft Association, is right here with me, helping me scope out the area today, and he's put together a great group of people for us to talk to. And you've got an interesting story now for us, and I just can't wait to hear.
Well, this is an incredible story. We have Dan Neum with us today, and you're going to recognize a little accent when he speaks. But you know, we bring airplanes up here every day to showcase, but sometimes we have people that are more interesting than the airplanes, and I think this might be the case. Now, we have a very interesting airplane that he's with, but Dan has got quite a story. And on the very last day of the Vietnam War, this gentleman and his family was able to escape and come over here. And Dan, you have been an American citizen for how long?
For 47 years.
47 years. How about that? I believe that Barry Goldwater's family sponsored your family.
Yes, correct.
And I think it was a wonderful sponsorship. But now this man is flying this little airplane all over the country, and it's incredibly interesting, too, because it's the only one.
I don't think I've ever seen or heard of a Lockheed Air Trooper. Made in 1946 originally. And we have Steve Miller with us as well. Steve, you and Dan are working together on this project, is that correct?
Known Dan for several years. He's a heck of a collector, and he takes excellent care of his equipment. I wanted to correct you, though. The Air Trooper was not born at that year. It wasn't built in that year.
Oh, that's the data.
What it was, there are parts in the airplane that are from that year.
Oh, okay. All right.
And actually, in 68, it was completed. Now, what happened was that John Thorpe was building, wanted to build an airplane that could be used to fly a single person in a sniper rifle across enemy lines and then come back. So he got Lockheed to allow him to build the prototype, and that was the Little Dipper.
The Little Dipper,
they flew it. They didn't get the contract. They crushed it. So a fellow by the name of Robinson was a young engineer working with him, and he said he would like to build a replica sometime. So they were going to scrap on Monday, and John told him if he wanted to get some parts out of the bins, he could do that, but he had to do it before Monday. So that's what he did. And this fellow's 92 years old right now.
Oh, wow. Is he here?
No. Okay. He's in a nursing home in Sun City.
Okay. Well, so we'll tell the story in his honor.
There we go. So what ended up happening was he ended up getting these parts and putting together this airplane, and he gave me boxes of extra parts, the widow who I acquired this from, and in the box were brand new Starfighter rotor pedals, and just because he didn't know what he was taking.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of the story of it, and then the fellow who ended up doing all this restoration, Jim, when he passed away and I acquired the airplane, his widow had asked me, his request was to take it to Oshkosh and have it judged as a warbird. So last year, I did. And last year, it won the Phoenix Award for bringing an airplane out of the ashes, and it runs.
Was that down in Warbirds?
Yeah, no. I was by the Bailey Bomber, right by the entrance. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so then, it won the several other awards as well. But it's really done really well, and it's a great airplane. I'm glad I've got a good caretaker for it, because you know we really don't own these things; we're just caretakers.
That's right.
What I think is so interesting, Dan, with your background and coming over here, and now, I mean, it's not likely you would have been able to do this in Vietnam. Is that right?
It wouldn't possible. Yes. Because we cannot have a right to use the airspace. In a communist country, 50 meter and above is the government-owned control airspace.
And so what got you interested in flying, and when did you realize, I can do this?
It's way back in Vietnam. I have three uncles that fly Huey, Chinook, and Sky Raiders. So that's what got me into flying. My dad was a rear admiral for the Vietnamese Navy. He in charge of the Mekong Delta. And boat and ship to me is too slow. And whenever my dad go out, he usually don't come back till like 3 months or 6 months. And every night I would see my uncle at the dinner table. And I know if that's a war, that's what I want to fight.
So when did you, what did you learn to fly in? And then how did you get, how did you find, how did you two guys get together? And how did you find this airplane?
Oh, I know Steve Miller for years. And then I inherit a couple airplane, a perfect airplane from Steve's. So whenever Steve called me up and around either birthday or Christmas, you know, that's the time.
So, that's a heck of a Christmas present. Yeah.
So more than the airplane, it's a lifelong friendship.
Absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So, Steve, how did this so this airplane brought back from the ashes, as you said, is it fully flying now?
Yes. 100%? 100% flying. In fact, it's going to be, we're just at a briefing, and Daniel's going to do the photo shoot.
Okay,
so
great.
So it's going to be another further, and Bud Davidson, he's going to also do a write-up, and we're going to be interviewed by him.
Let's tell the listeners where they can find this airplane so they can look at it.
Well, we're about 300 feet south of the 300 feet south of the vintage hangar on the main road there. It's on the corner.
We're right in the Rose Memorial Plaza. They are on the very south point here. And you'll find it. There's also a beautiful monocoupe sitting right there and a beautiful Swift sitting over there. But you must, if you're listening, you must come over and see this airplane. Some people think it's a Mooney Mite. It gets mistaken for a couple other airplanes, but there's no airplane exactly like this one for sure. Daniel, what's the numbers when you go flying? Can you tell us the cruise and fuel burn and how it performs cross country?
Yes. I happen to fly it and experience it. It like to cruise. If the engine setting at 2350, she cruise through at 70 mile per hour. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I come in the final, believe it or not, 70.
It's a real speed demon.
Yeah. What engine's on it?
It's a O200. 100 horsepower. Yes.
What did it originally have?
50 horse.
Oh, wow.
Franklin.
A Franklin, wow. So I think the reason why people confuse it with a Mooney Mite is maybe the shape of the tail a little bit, and also the canopy configuration. There's similarities there.
Actually, if you know those airplanes well, that's a Lockheed tail. It's got the shark fin tail, and it's got a flying elevator, right? That's the first time that was used. That's on all Piper products now, right?
Right.
John Thorpe designed that, and that's where he experimented with it. So it's not, and the canopy is heavily raked. It's not quite the same as what you're thinking. It's not a bubble. So people look at it, and then if you think about it a while, it really has its own look. It's not, you know, that similar. Really.
Yeah.
What kind of, how long can you fly? What's your distance before landing and refueling?
Oh, I can tell you about that because I experimented not just by the what the numbers are, but experiences by actually measuring the fuel and the hour and the power settings. I can tell you that for 2 hours, it consumed 2.5 gallons.
Is that right?
But we're not going fast. I flew in.
You're not going fast.
Okay, so last year when I flew in to the Warbirds, they parked me up there, and the guy says, hey, do you want fuel? It's free. I said, sure. Put 6 gallons in.
Well, for comparison, for listeners who may not know, an O200 in a Cessna 150 normally burns about 5 gallons an hour.
Correct.
So that tells quite a story.
Let I correct myself because I fly the leg of 2 hours, but I stop at 1 hour and measure it. 1 hour, I did burn 2.5 gallons.
Yeah, yes. So it's basically half. Yes. Yeah.
It's green.
Very efficient.
It's green.
Yeah, it's very efficient. Yeah.
How much fuel can you put in the airplane?
It carries 15 gallons in the main tank behind you, and then 5 gallons in each wing.
Wow.
So you can go 4 hours till you're out of fuel.
So do you pump it up to the main tank?
Well, it has a fuel pump on the engine.
I see.
And so that brings it up off the tank, and you're good to go, and then you can gravity feed the main tank.
Well, Dan, do you fly other airplanes also besides this one?
Yes, I have a couple in my collection. Yes, sir.
What are those airplanes?
Oh, it's a list.
Oh.
From Storch. probably for the last year, I got a Storch. It's a Slapjet Storch. It's a scale version of a Fiesta Storch. And I also fly rotor wing, and I have a Bell 206. As year go by, somehow the speed doesn't thrill me much. It's where I can be free and fly and land. So the kids right behind here, and they just love to land wherever they want to land. So,
Dad, McDonald's. Put me there, right? Huh? Big Mac, dude. All right. Well, thank you so much for telling us your great story today and for bringing the airplane. It's quite an effort. People underestimate, you know, just people who come by car and walk around. They don't understand what it takes to get an airplane to Oshkosh. So
absolutely.
And
just one more thing. Where else in the world could you enjoy the freedom of flight than right here?
What I noticed is because I travel around the world, and I fly the most freely in the United States, Canada. That's pretty much it. And Czech Republic, yes.
Czech Republic, all right. All right, well, thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And everyone come down and check out that cool airplane. You're going to be hanging out by it during the day, usually? For questions and answers.
Yes,
all right, excellent. J-Mont G, we're on the fly. We have one more segment of the hour coming up here in just a minute. Don't go away. And we promise we won't. We are at Vintage today, and you're listening to EAA Radio.